You've been gambling with $1 million.
Alternative rock band Texas King has earned their reputation as one of the rock bands to watch with their fiery live performances, their powerful and dynamic lyrics, and obviously their incredible guitar solos. We never can forget those in their live performances. They have picked up where the previous top 15 active rock singles Boomerang and Chandelier left off with their lead single, Not Myself, that came out earlier this year to kick off Texas King's new EP that is coming out, and it's called Change, and that is due out in December of this year. So pretty incredible news. You've just heard a teaser of their second new single off the new EP, and it's called Strange Life, which we'll be playing in just a little bit. We'll be diving into the lyrics, the music, and some great stories from the band. Exciting news with the new EP coming out in December of this year. So you are listening to Music's Journey. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Welcome to the show. We got Texas King frontman and the lead singer and guitarist, Jordan McDonald and Phil Spina are here. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us, Kim.
Great to have you guys here. This is just such exciting news. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Yeah.
Trying to keep busy doing whatever a band can do when you can't be touring and playing shows. So lots of writing and recording and getting everything in line so we can come back strong when we can do shows again.
Well, it's nice to be putting out music again, too, I could submit.
Yeah, anytime you guys play, you guys got a very unique sound. And Jordan, you know, I am such a fan of your voice. I told you that when I met you back at CMW. You guys have just got something really special. And guys have earned your fans one at a time. And I really respect that. When bands go out there, they work really hard. Their expectations aren't, hey, you know, we're going to hit the tour bus. We're going to hit that single that's going to hit the radio. You guys really care about the music you put out there. And I have mad respect for that.
Oh, thank you so much for the kind words, first of all. And yeah, we do believe in, like, you get something out of grinding up every stage you go, you know, like one stage after the other and one year after another. And we've had a good time.
Well, you guys have done some fantastic work out there. London, Ontario is so proud of Texas King, and so is Canada. But you guys have really won some fans south of the border. We've got a lot of international listeners that we have a huge base that's out in the UK as well as out in Australia and the US. Let's take everybody back to the beginning and when you guys first formed the band, because you did that at a fan shop, I think is when you first released. You guys were still in college in, what, 2012?
Yeah, I think it was 2013. We had just finished college, and we were ready to hit the road when we put it out. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah. I think it was either the tail end of 2012 or beginning of 2013, kind of when we were in our final year. And our first ever EP came out, kind of like Jordan said, right as we were graduating, which sort of lined up perfect because we were done school and we could start, you know, going out on tours and not having to just like do little weekend runs and make it, you know, back for school on Monday type of thing. So yeah, I think we put that out in like 2013, and then with sometime within the next year, I think in early 2014, we went out and did our first kind of like big tour, which was, you know, just us and some other local bands, but it was like 4 or 5 weeks, which was the longest we had ever toured at that point. And yeah, slowly just worked from there doing Canadian tours, and then eventually going south of the border, like you said.
It's so different, you know, for fans. We're going to get into it, you know, a little bit later into the interview, but what it's like for bands to start out today in comparison to what it was, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and the money that you guys have, being able to work, being able to put the money into marketing, the radio tours. It's just so difficult to get into the recording studio and then trying to get your music heard, you know, in the radio stations. It's very difficult to get on radio today. And a lot of fans don't realize that. It's a different platform today than it used to be. And we're going to get into some of that. Now, what were the influences for you, Phil, when it come to music?
It's hard, like so much. Like, you know, like I think I probably was in the early days, I probably was influenced a lot by, you know, stuff on Much Music. I was of the age where, like, you know, in the early 2000s, I was watching Much Music and was a teenager, and lots of you know, being like maybe like, you know, 11 or 12 years old and seeing that whatever was popular with music at the time, mostly kind of like the more rock bands, like the Green Days and Blink 182s and that kind of stuff. And then from there, wanting to learn how to play bass. So then getting, you know, into like my dad's, you know, music collection with like the Who and like a lot of the classic rock bands. And so, you know, played in punk bands and going to like elementary school and high school. And but I always had a love for like a wide range of stuff. So, yeah, I grew up playing a lot of punk rock, but also listened to a lot of the classics and other genres as well.
Very cool.
Oh, that's just a Canadian goose. Sorry, I'm by a river.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Okay. So what about you, Jordan, for your influences growing up?
Well, you know, it's different for me. I started with music in my dad's church at a very young age, like 6 years old. I was playing drums and stuff at church. So I really grew up till about the age of 13, just really only knowing like church music and stuff. And then in high school, I kind of was lightly exposed to some stuff. Like I remember listening to like Eminem in high school and then like some Linkin Park stuff. Bands like Hello Goodbye, like I wouldn't really say I listened to that much music, like, and not really good music either by any means, like no offense to any of those bands, but like my fascination with music came from the ability to create something that was never made before,
right?
So that was always kind of my thing. Like I was always making songs, like from the beginning, like when I first picked up a guitar, I wasn't like trying to learn Green Day songs or something. I was like, I'm gonna make something up. So that was always kind of my influence, was like stuff that was going on in my head or stuff that was like,
that was your outlet.
I'd hear I remember being a kid listening to my mom's Signal Left, and like I'd hear the in the background, and I'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool, it's like a metronome, like fun. So that was my angle on things, kind of.
So it was a creative flow for you all the way around, just being able to express yourself in the way of music.
Yeah, and then also I think I started really, like, one of the things about being in a band I love is that every night you're playing with a new band and you get to, you know, exchange CDs and you check out their tunes on the way to the next show. And like you some of my favorite music now is from bands we played with, like good friends of ours. So you know,
yeah,
that's been really cool.
It's a really great experience when you're out on the road and you're going on these different stages and seeing and learning. You know, it's like being a sponge. You're learning so many cool sounds, the way that they do things, how they, you know, present themselves going up on stage. Because it's a big difference between playing in a local pub, you know, to going out onto the bigger stages like you guys have. And, you know, you guys have developed so quickly and done it so well. And, you know, the fans love you, especially live. You guys cover every corner of the stage. You never miss. It's pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a full body workout, we always say.
But you do it well. A lot of people, you know, when they're first standing, or, you know, when they're first starting out, they don't know how to play the whole stage. And, you know, you guys have your solo guitar riffs, the drumming, everything that you guys do, you know, is just a very full interactive show with your fans. And they pick up on that right away.
Well, thank you. It's honestly really just fun for us to be up there playing. And I mean, it's kind of like a bonus, you know, we even have fun in the jam room, but there's definitely like something that comes over us when there's an audience there. So the fans bring it out in us for sure.
Yeah, the energy is pretty cool. Now, for each member, I know that I think Colin was also with you too at Fanshawe as well, right? Is that how
right.
you guys met there? And then you had a different drummer, and then Melvin came in after. So tell everybody what each band member brings with their influences to the band.
Well, I think we all have pretty, in terms of musically, we're all quite different in our musical upbringings. You know, you just heard about Jordan and I, and Colin went to school for a year doing jazz guitar, and he's definitely the most accomplished in terms of like theory and that sort of thing out of all of us. And then Melvin, you know, grew up playing in like metal bands and is recently gone back to school to learn drumming like more professionally and different types of music and that sort of thing. But when we come together working on Texas King, it all just sort of works. And even outside of just music, everyone brings something different to the table aside from music. You know, obviously Jordan is like the creative leader and has like, you know, most of the ideas stem from him and his head. Melvin, Colin, and I sort of all split the other things. Maybe it's like more business related stuff. Mm-hmm. Melvin, for example, prints all of our merch. So anytime you buy a Texas King shirt, it was printed by Melvin. He has a screen printing setup. So yeah, it's really like a really do-it-yourself operation here. We have our hands pretty much in every piece of the pie. It's kind of like the Wild West, you know. Some bands, anyone can make and release music, and then, you know, but that also comes with the flip side of, because everyone can make and release music, there's that much more competition, and people are that much more, I think, like picky, because it's not so rare. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, being able to hear it really stands out in the ones that everybody kind of gravitate to. And you guys have had great success, as I've said, south of the border. So it's like pretty cool, you know, as well as you guys have done. As I said, I was a fan right the moment I heard your sound. It's very distinct. And it's just something that I can really appreciate. So always going to be there for you guys.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome.
Now, you guys have played for some of the biggest rock festivals, like we were talking about. You've played with the Sheepdogs. I love them. One of my favorite bands, like the Glorious Sons, and of course, Big Wreck. There's quite a few more that you've played with. What has that been like for that dream to be able to come true, from going from the London stage to be able to go onto these bigger stages for you? What about you, Jordan?
It's awesome for me, you know. Like I always, like you said, it's a dream come true. Like I see those bands playing as a fan, and I think to myself, you know, I want to be up there one day. And so yeah, when it happens, it's great. But the thing I've been blown away by is how gracious and kind all those big name guys, you know, people say never meet your heroes and stuff, but we've been really lucky. Like the Glorious Sons guys were really nice to us. Big Wreck guys were like big brothers to us, took us right under their wing, band and crew. Like it was our first big tour, and I think they knew that. And, you know, people could be like, oh, you guys are rookies, but they weren't like that. They showed us what we needed to know and took us under their wing and treated us like equals. And I mean, that to me was amazing. And just to get a chance to play those venues that they get to play all the time is a special treat.
Now, Phil, like I know that when I've interviewed a lot of the bands that are coming out and they play for these other really huge guys, you know, these other bands, sometimes there's not that kind of, I don't want to say familiarity or friendship. It's just like you're out there, you're opening, and they kind of do their thing. It's different in different genres. Do you find that the rock genre is really, really welcoming?
Yeah, I guess I think it's, I look at it not so much on a genre basis, but I think, at least in our experience, it's been a case-to-case basis. It kind of just depends. And you know what? Sometimes too, it's just the day that someone's having. We've played with, you know, one, and we opened for, the first time we opened for them, we really didn't get to speak to them very much. And you know, they were, you know, they weren't rude to us, but we definitely weren't really, I didn't have that kind of camaraderie with them. And then the next time, a few months later, we ended up opening for them again on another one-off show. And it was like completely different. And they were like, oh yeah, the first time we played with you guys, and I forget what it was, but something had just happened and their minds were all a mess because something had just got shaken up in their, you know, within the band, with their world. It depends on the band. And sometimes when you're on tour and you, especially when you meet up with these bands for some one-off shows, you know, you don't know what their day or what that tour has been like for them. So sometimes, you know, they're understandably, they don't want to be the most social. And that's sort of the one thing when you play with bands on a one-off, as opposed to getting to know a band over like 4 months. If you didn't
Big Wreck, it does make a huge difference, because it's, they're in there, they're you're going from the bus to get onto stage, you're trying to get your rehearsal in, and everybody's just trying to get the job done and give the best performance. So a lot of the times they don't have time, you know, to be able to talk to everybody. So absolutely. What is it like for you, Jordan, as the singer? Do you get nervous before going on stage, or do you feed off the energy to be say, hey, I just want to get out there and play?
It's a little mix of jitters. It's mostly jitters, I guess. It's not really fear so much as like, I put a little bit of pressure on myself to like have a good show, obviously. And like, I hope I sing good, and I don't want to let the guys down. So that kind of stuff happens in my head. But, you know, I'm very lucky. Like, I've got a very supportive band in terms of, like, the guys and our manager and everyone. Like, So I'm always feeling comfortable, and I'm really lucky too. Like Phil and Colin will drive all the time, and I get to stretch my legs out, my big long legs. So
yeah,
it's like not really nervousness because we've done it so many times at this point, but there's just like a small little pressure to do well, you know.
I know.
I think that keeps me sharp.
I think, you know, a lot of people don't really realize like how difficult it is on the lead singers because, you know, you just have to hit one bad note or something. And it's just like with all the streaming platforms out there, it just takes one time. And it's not the case. It's just everybody has that. Like even on radio here, my voice goes out. Everybody goes through that in their life. And, you know, it's just, I know that it's got to be like tremendous pressure on the singers.
Yeah, it's you know, it sucks when your voice cracks and stuff like that. But I've always been taught by my dad to just like, you know, one second that you crack your voice, the next second you sing a good note. So, you know, people forget fast. And
yep, exactly.
The worst thing to do is to get caught up in it. And we've been a band that's actually had like a terrible time coming up in terms of like technical difficulties and like losing patch cables. Like, if it could happen, it happened to us, basically. Like, we played a festival once, and I think not 5 seconds into it, and the amp comes tipping off the case.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, everything and anything. And then that happened to Colin as well. We've had our pedals rained on. We've had drums break first hit of the song. And
wow.
Have other bands run to their car from the parking lot to grab us a snare. And
yeah,
keeps us on our toes. So,
and it's good to share these stories because a lot of the bands that are out there that are starting out, they got to realize it's going to happen. And you know, it's how you handle it. You get right back up, and you know, you move on because it's about the music. And you know, and it's you guys do it so well. I was there the one day that happened, and you guys were so calm. And like so cool about the whole thing, and you just handled it so well. So.
Yeah, there was a time there where I think we were desensitized to it because it happened literally every time.
Yeah, the more it happens, you know, the better you get with dealing with it too. So like, I mean, I'm sure it would be pretty cringy for us to go back and watch like one of the first times we had a technical difficulty on stage, you know. I don't know. I'm sure we probably stopped the whole song or something, but you know, once that starts happening, you learn how to deal with it like pros. And honestly, a lot of the technical difficulties, I bet you like 85% of the fans probably don't really know what's happening if you just play it cool and freak out. Don't stop the song. Don't make a big deal. You just roll with it and fix it when you can.
Yep.
Yeah, never stop the song.
Never.
Yeah.
Exactly. perfect advice on that one. Okay, so we've talked about that stuff. So what's your favorite moment on stage so far, Phil?
Oh, that's really hard. I guess I'll choose a more recent time because I mean I could go back. There's like all kinds of like little things throughout, you know, like I feel like when we were just starting the band, you know, I don't know, maybe like the first time we sold out a hometown venue, like that was like a huge moment. But then, you know, as you get bigger, there's all these other little ones. So I guess like a more recent one, if I have to pick one, would be, I'll say the first show when we entered Canada on the tour with Big Wreck, the last kind of big tour we did before COVID hit, was St. John, New Brunswick. And we had done about a third of the tour, I'd say, and it all had been in the U.S. in good rooms, but more like club venues. Mm-hmm. And when we came into Canada for that first Canadian show, it was like very clear that we were kind of entering another caliber of venue. I mean, it was this like really great, huge, beautiful theater, seated theater. Like probably the biggest and nicest room like we had ever played in, and also different for us playing in like a seated venue because a lot of times we're playing like, you know, 200 cap clubs.
Right.
And so just to go out and do sound check and then play the show that night on like a massive stage with like beautiful architecture and like whatever it was, like 1,000 soft seats, was definitely something that stuck in our mind, or at least my mind. And I know we were all pretty like struck by it, especially the first time.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great story. What about you, Jordan? Your favorite moment?
I'd say it was pretty awesome having Ian come out on stage and play Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
With us. I dropped the guitar and he came and took Collins or something. And that was pretty sweet. Like,
nice.
Just to see how excited all the fans got. And it's pretty cool. Like, in the moment, I didn't realize how cool it kind of was. But
when you look back at it now,
thinking back on it now, I was like, whoa, like, it's so cool that he was just like such a champ about it, too. Because, like, I don't know.
That's cool.
Other people could have seen it as annoying that I asked about that, but he was like, yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. So. That's a pretty awesome memory. Those are things that you're never, you know, that's never going to happen again, right?
Yeah.
You know, totally. With that person. So that's such a cool, cool memory. That's really good. Now, you guys have been really working hard, you know, during all of this pandemic, coming off of that 2019, 2018, like amazing years for you guys. And you guys hunkered down in the studio and you guys have been working so hard coming off of Chandelier. That was on the rock charts. You guys just finished your 4-month tour with Big Wreck and everything comes to a halt. But you guys really worked hard at this new album, this new music. Talk to us about going through that stage and figuring out, did it affect you differently personally? For you, Jordan, and, you know, for the rest of the band?
Yeah, I think, of course, it had an effect, but it was nice having the time to completely take a break, and then I eventually got around to writing some more, and it was nice to really just take a long break, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good for me, and I'm sure the guys.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we had like, a handful of songs written, you know, even before that 2019 tour that we had demos of, but then being on the road for that long, we would also come up with these little ideas in sound checks. So someone would just like record a voice note on their phone. And the one thing that all the time off in the pandemic, and you know, we had to push back, like when we were planning to record this record a lot sooner, but then lockdown happened, and mm-hmm. for like, you know, most of the last year we weren't able to do it. So by the time we actually got around to doing it, it had given us all this extra time we weren't anticipating on having, where we were able to go back and pick through some of these old voice notes from the tour, from sound checks that most of us had forgotten about.
Right.
And just pick out the little gems. I was like, oh, you know, that is a cool idea, and turn them into songs, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of them may or may not be on this EP, because there's only 6 songs, but the ones that are the best will stick through even to the next record going forward.
I can't wait to hear the other 4 that are coming off of this one. So I know that you guys already released this year, and it's Not Myself. I love this song. It's the very first one that you've released for this body of work off the brand new EP with my very special guest, Texas King, and we are going to play Not Myself, the lead single off the forthcoming new EP, Changes, right here on Music's Journey.
Was awakened by the shaking in the floor. I was taking advantage of before. And then it comes back to how it was before. And it comes. Yeah.
I love the vulnerability and the message in this song. The lyrics are so powerful and the story that needs to be told to fans out there. Talk to us about writing this one, Jordan.
This song, Not Myself, is, you know, the whole EP is called Changes, and that's like a big topic of the season of life I was in at the time writing it. And, you know, the first step to making change is like realizing that a change needs to be made, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think this song is the headspace I was in at that point, where it's like kind of like the red flag up there, or like the little alarm that goes off saying, you know, I'm not exactly all okay here. Like, not everything's going fine. I just wanted to put my hand up and say something before things got out of control, or before whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just, yeah, that song for me is saying, you know, I can't be the only one who's not feeling like tip top right now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an anthem to me as well. Like in the chorus, all goes, yeah, 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 yeah. To me, that's like everyone singing along, agreeing, saying, yeah, me too, me too, me too. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a common feeling of, take the pandemic, for example. Everyone in the world was in the same exact situation. Like, whatever you're doing, stop doing it. Mm-hmm. And if that's hard on you, doesn't matter. Like, you know, so I think that's where I was at with that one. And I'm really happy with how it turned out, too. I think the producer, Pete, did a great job bringing that one to life.
Oh, man, did he ever. I know that when I first heard the song, because of what I did for a living when I've worked in television and worked across Canada, the first thing I went to in my head was like, this is just the perfect song at the right time for so many people, you know, and it can relate to different age groups. It can relate to different situations.
Yeah.
And it's just like such a versatile song that was needed out there, and letting people know it's okay, you know, for things not to be okay. But you did exactly, you know, what we try to tell everybody, and that is to say something, like give it a voice.
Yeah.
And that's how you're healing, right?
Yeah, well, you can't just sit there and let things be dormant, because I'm an advocate for just speaking up, because mm-hmm. it's always best.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to deliver with this one, you know, that you wanted to be able to use that platform for in that moment?
I think I just really wanted to have a sense of, like, people being able to know that they're not alone. Because there's lots of people, like, who we know. When the pandemic hit, there was people who were in their houses for, like, a month and a half with no one else.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I could not imagine what that would be like.
The isolation.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's a big ups to everyone who made it through those situations. And I just think that this song can also be like a little pat on the back for those folks too.
Well, I think, you know, without, like, let's face it. We've never faced anything like this in our generation. It's happened in our parents and our grandparents, and they've lived through even worse. But, you know, to see it on a global scale for us in our eyes today, you know, was something that was such a shock for everybody. They just never saw anything like that coming, where our parents and our grandparents saw the wars and seeing what it was like for people not to have food in this, in a global scale.
Right.
And, you know, not just in certain areas of the world. And, you know, it's just so many messages, though, that are still the same that happened back in our grandparents' years to our parents' ears. And I'm just hoping that we all can learn from something and learn from this and start opening up and talking about and bring those topics to the forefront. And you guys have really done that with this platform. And it's just such a great body of work. Huge kudos to you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
When it comes to the concept and the process and the vision of what you had, Phil, talk to us about that behind, you know, what you guys wanted to bring out with this one. And what you had coming forward, working with Peter, and you also worked with Matt Snail on this one. And heck, you know, we got a call out to Harry Hess. Has just been on the forefront for so many artists right now, and he mastered this one for you guys. Talk about working with everybody and putting this into production.
Yeah, it was awesome to have that, you know, team around us for it. I think working with Pete is something that has been sort of kicking around in our camp for a while. He's a friend, but we're also a fan of his work, and both his solo stuff and his previous band, Teenage Kicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were just starting out in like 2013 or whatever, they were kind of at their height of popularity. I think we kind of like looked up to them. They were doing a lot of the stuff that we wanted to do. You know, they were selling out the Horseshoe and getting on cool support tours and just making like really good like rock songs. Mm-hmm. And we got to open for them and you know, we became friends. And finally the stars aligned and we got to work with Pete. And it was awesome just having someone so hands-on come into our circle and listen to our demos and just tell us straight up, like, this song is too long. Or I know you guys think this bridge is really cool, but from a listener, like, I don't get it. Like, I should cut it. Or, like, you know, he was really hands-on with Jordan, I know for sure. And, like, lyrically, just trying to get, making sure that Jordan's messages came across clearly to the listener in the lyrics. I mean, nothing was too vague.
It's really cool when you're working with a producer like that and, you know, to be able to see, like, you got a vision of what your song is and what your lyrics are. And, you know, Jordan, like, that's coming from your mind, your heart. And then to walk in there and what the end product is, you know, to work with somebody who's just met you and, you know, to be able to go in and be able to dissect exactly what he knew would come out of you. And what he could do with that song and lyric just by, you know, reading you that fast.
Yeah, it was crazy. He gave me a chance to sit there and explain things to him and just talk things out. And so he got it out of me because he was willing to put in the time and listen. I think it's a great relationship. I hope we get to record more.
Oh, that'd be so cool. He's such a great talent and an amazing, amazing producer. And you got to work with Harry Hess too, you know, for the mastering for this one. And a lot of fans out there who love, you know, Harum Scarum, you know, these guys are working on their 16th studio album. So he knows his stuff, but he's got his hand on so many of, you know, the bands that are out there right now that have been going for quite a long time. And, you know, he's just an amazing master, too. What was it like to be able to hear the end product and hear that on the radio?
Yeah, it's great. It just really brought it to life, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And you guys premiered it. You know, you did that at the Sugar Shack. Tell us about that, Phil.
Yeah, we went to the Sugar Shack after the record was all finished being recorded, and because that's where we tracked it, at the Sugar Shack. And so after it was done, we were in there for, you know, like a week recording it. We came back a couple weeks later and set up all our gear and performed a couple songs and recorded the whole thing live off the floor. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, not myself. We released the live off the floor video for that. And we'll have another song or two from that session that will come out, you know, closer to the EP. But we just did it because we wanted to give people, I guess, like a sense of the space we recorded it in. And, you know, maybe that, you know, just adds to the overall vibe when you listen to the songs or when you listen to the EP.
You guys have done a lot, actually. You did some in February at the London Music Hall. You've done a few of the live streaming. You've got some more coming up, as you said. Now, that was great when it comes to giving a little bit of a peek to you guys playing live again. How different was that for you, doing it at the Sugar Shack with no audience in comparison to coming off a four-month tour with Big Wreck?
Yeah, it's always a little weird whenever you play, you know, we've only done a handful of things like that, but whenever you do a performance and there's no audience there, it definitely is a change. You're kind of performing to the cameras more so than like actually getting the energy back from a crowd. Mm-hmm. So yeah, whether it was that Sugar Shack session or whether it was, you know, the handful of like live stream events that, you know, you have to do during COVID if you want to play anything, it seems like it is a little different. You kind of have to really rely on yourself and like the rest of the band to bring the energy. And you maybe have to just like try that extra bit harder because the energy maybe doesn't come quite as naturally as when the audience is in front of you giving it back. Because when we play live, it's just like, it's a cycle. You know, we come out with energy, but then the crowd enjoys it and either sings along or gives energy back. And then that just gets us more amped. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes back and forth, right? But when you're doing anything like that, it's very one way.
Yeah, like you sit in that pocket when you're feeding off the energy because you're seeing everybody getting geared up and loving the music, and it just immediately fills your energy, and it's just a different kind of performance. But to do it the way that you guys did, you would never know. You guys did such a great job, and I watched the whole session that you guys did for the London Music Hall, too, that you guys did back in February. And,
oh, yeah.
That was really cool because it was just the two of you, the two bands that were playing, and yeah, you guys do it really well. Really well.
Thank you. Yeah, we played a drive-in show last September in Manitoulin with Big Rec, and that was kind of like an interesting experience.
Dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, it was almost like a whole different thing besides a typical live show, but also besides like a streaming event, because like there were people there, but they weren't like all standing in the front, like they were in their cars and like just getting used to like finishing playing a song. And it's not silence like it is when you're doing a stream, but there's also not applause like a typical show. It's like the horns honking and people flicking the lights at you, and like some people hollering from their cars. But I just remember playing that show, and like it was kind of weird for like the first couple songs, and then, you know, maybe like three songs in, you kind of get used to it. It's like, well, there are people out there and they are responding when we finished playing. It's just a lot different if you've never done anything like that before.
Yeah, it was a whole new learning process, I think, for everybody out there. I know when Brett Kissel, you know, started, you know, doing the shows, and he was just selling out, you know, everywhere he went. And then all of a sudden, it's just everybody started getting into the idea, okay, we can do this. But it's different because people are listening to it through their car radio. And and also, you guys aren't seeing the expressions. You aren't seeing anything other than these vehicles, and they're spread out, you know, so far apart. And, you know, it's just a different feel altogether.
Yeah, for sure.
But very cool. I didn't realize you had done that. I didn't know you went, because I know Manitoulin very well.
Oh, okay, nice.
Very, very well. Manitoulin Island is just, they've got some great music festivals out that way. And they cover everything. So they're a really cool place to see some music out there. So you guys had the chance to also work, as I said, when it comes to the second single, when you guys were thinking about the process of just putting six songs on this EP. Talk to us about just the six and the mindset behind that.
Yeah, I think when we sat down to tackle the next release, I think we kind of at first all assumed, well, we'll do another full-length record, because we put out Circles in 2017, which was, you know, 12 songs, and then we dropped a few singles over the next couple of years just to sort of facilitate, you know, touring and radio and all that sort of thing as we were writing and working on more songs. And we had so many songs and so many demos and little seeds of ideas that I think we all just assumed that we would do another full-length record. But but the more we kind of discussed it and started talking with Pete, you know, who produced it, and, you know, even talking with our management and whatnot, we sort of decided to scale it back. And, you know, because we had only been putting out singles for the last little bit, to instead of jumping right to like a full-length record, putting out something a little smaller and a little more manageable that shows the kind of like full depth and versatility of the band. So these six songs is quite a range, I'd say. Like, there are some really up-tempo, high-energy songs like maybe you would kind of come to expect from a Texas King song, but there's also a couple on there that are a little more dynamic, or that maybe are a little slower, or that kind of grow, and as opposed to hitting in the face right off the bat with like a huge chorus. So really just trying to like experiment and just record something that showcases the versatility while also capturing on record some of like the live energy, hopefully, because, you know, if there has ever been a critique of our recorded material in the past, the most common one we hear is, your record's fine, but I would way rather watch you guys play it live, because there's something about the energy or what you guys put into it live that is not captured on recording. And that's just been something we've always been striving to do. And I think we definitely got it much closer with this. If anything, we just sort of try to make the best song we can, and then we will kind of after the fact send it to our radio team, or have it some people within the industry that we know who we respect their opinions kind of listen and tell us, because radio is like a whole nother thing. Sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes we don't even know like what song will be like the radio single. Like, there's been actually a few times where we've sort of assumed, oh, well, this radio single will probably be this one. And then we'll actually have our radio team listen, and they're like, oh, actually, you know, song B is your best shot for radio. And it's like, oh, well,
It's funny because, like you're saying, the reason why I brought it up too is because there's been so much change in the last 2 years when it comes to rock music. And it's really sad to see a lot of these great rock stations that are closing. You know, it's hard, you know, for promoters and for the labels to even get radio stations to even hear the songs when it comes to rock. And you guys are a big part of that pulse to keep it alive, and some of the great bands that you guys are playing with. And I'm a huge rock girl. To me, it's just, I'm just praying that we turn this corner and rock comes back stronger than ever.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, me too.
What is the biggest change that you've noticed for you guys as a band?
I would say the biggest change, I guess, it seems to be more and more. In order to get someplace in the industry, you really have to do 99% of the work yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, the years I think of the old stories of an A&R guy like walking into a bar and seeing someone playing to a room of nobody, but being like, oh, they're a great talent. I'm going to sign them to my label. And this is like the next big thing. This is such a great like gem. No one knows about them. I feel like that's the complete opposite mindset of what it is now. If you get one, any kind of like someone in the industry to take you seriously, you need to already have a million streams on Spotify, be selling out 500 cap venues, touring yourself before you even have an agent. You know, you already have to be known for people to want to jump in.
That's what I was talking about, you know, at the beginning when I was first introducing you guys about the independent artists and bands, because you guys have to have so much money behind you. You guys have to have so much set aside for marketing. You gotta wear all the hats. And it's so difficult because you gotta be working full time. You still gotta be sitting there getting into the studio and writing and, you know, practicing and playing and getting out there. And then the radio tours, paying for a radio tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy the amount of money that you guys have to have. And then to go into a studio, what that costs, fans have no idea what you guys have to do to make a record happen.
So oh yeah,
doing it all this time. That's why I said you guys have earned one fan at a time by doing it the old-fashioned way, and that is getting out there and just hustling and doing the work.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's more gratifying too. Obviously, I don't know the other end of it. We're not a band that has blown up overnight or anything like that. We're still grinding away. But you know, the fact that we can go from playing a 100 cap room in our hometown to a 500 cap room to a, you know, selling nearing 1,000 tickets in our hometown, and having that all just be because we played lots of shows and have had support from local radio and toured outside of just our hometown and all that kind of stuff. I feel like those nights where all those pieces fall into place and we get to put on some big headlining show, it really feels like a pretty big accomplishment, because it's kind of like a combination of everything we work for, you know.
And you do.
So those are the payoffs.
And the quality of music you guys put out there, we were talking about that too, because you guys have it all. So we are talking about your brand new EP, and that's called Changes. And I'm so excited about your brand new single that came out today, and that's called Strange Life. I love the song. And we played that teaser for you at the beginning, and that's called Strange Life at the top of the show. And we're going to play it right now. And it is out today by my very special guest, Texas King. Well, if that doesn't make your day, I don't know what does. Texas King with their new single, Strange Life, off their forthcoming EP, Changes, that is set to release in December this year. Love this song, so worth the wait. You can download this one right now, as well as the first single off their EP that came out earlier this year. But this one's called Strange Life, and it is such a great song. So download it, share it on your playlist. Don't forget to call your local radio stations and ask for it to be put into the rotation. You guys have so much power out there too. When you add it to Spotify and all your streaming platforms, all your digital platforms, wherever you're doing it, just make sure you're adding it to your playlist, because the more you like it, the better it is for these hardworking bands out there that just really deserve that recognition. And that's where the awards come in. So it's not just about what's on radio anymore. So you guys got that power. So go out there, do your thing, and download it and stream it today. I love the song. Tell us about this one and choosing this one as your second release.
When we recorded this song, it started out much differently. It was like the demo of this, of Strange Life, was a little more like what I guess what you would think of like when a traditional Texas King song. It was more in line with something like a Not Myself, I guess, or even like some of our older songs like Chandelier. And we kind of owed this the change up in arrangement, and also a couple of lyrical changes, to Pete, Ethan Hilbert, our producer. He really, what we were talking about earlier, when he came in and kind of sat down with us and went through our demos and you know, had his constructive criticisms, he kind of proposed a little bit of a different groove and taking it in a little bit of a different direction, actually stripping away a lot of stuff and making it a lot more minimalist than what like the original demo was. But, you know, guitars playing through the whole time, strumming lots of chords, you know, all that sort of thing. He kind of really brought it down and was just, you know, made the verses just kind of this like drum and bass thing, and having just sort of like a rhythm guitar being on an acoustic as opposed to an electric. And then just coming up, you know, the guitar part should be just this like hooky line that sort of carries throughout the song. So I'd say that Strange Life is definitely the song that changed the most out of the EP from, like, you know, if I played you the demo to hearing the final product. A lot of, like, you know, lyrics and melodies remain the same, but musically it really took a change.
You know, it's amazing when you look back and you see that, as you just said, he's letting the lyrics breathe and letting that music stand out. Which, you know, that's really cool. Great story.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll end up releasing like a special edition where we release all the demos. And some of the songs won't change that much, but Strange Life would be, I think, a fun one to let people hear, because it is quite a bit different.
Wow, very cool. Is there going to be a video coming out for it?
I'm not sure if there'll be one for Strange Life. We'd like to make a video for every single song, but obviously it's not always practical. So I think we have one more song coming out, which will have a video accompanying it in the fall, kind of setting up for the EP release in December.
Now, do you have some shows coming up as well?
Yeah, we're in the process of having a tour booked for the end of this year and early next year, kind of around the EP release and then leading into the new year. Nothing announced yet. We're still very much hoping that all those dates in Canada and also south of the border can happen, barring any like COVID spikes or anything like that. So yeah, we'll be announcing tour dates hopefully shortly, if they don't have to get moved.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope not, because I know that the border, the U.S. coming over here has been okay, but not so much for us going over there. So I don't think they've opened that up yet, so we're hoping that that all changes. Are you okay to do a couple burning questions?
Sure.
Okay. What is the biggest change so far for you personally as a musician? What's the hardest hurdle?
I guess trying to balance everyday life at home and being a touring musician. You know, trying to find that balance of, like, you know, working a job when you're home, but then having to leave for a month to go on tour. Mm-hmm. And then come back and work again. It's when you're kind of a band that's at our level where we still have jobs, that's like, you know, not every employer wants to hire you, and you'd be like, I'm going to take off for 2 weeks. And then, you know, I come back, can I come back to work? You know, a lot of employers that doesn't fly with. So I think, like, I could even speak for all of us just saying that, you know, it's always a tricky balance when you're a band that is doing well enough that you're touring and making some money from it, but you're not just doing a couple tours a year and it pays for you know, your entire, you know, year's worth of wages. So
it's hard. It's really, really tough. Favorite moment on stage with your bandmates?
I'll say our holiday show. Every year we do a hometown holiday show in December, which kind of wraps up our year. And it's usually also the biggest kind of like headlining show we do each year. And that one's always really special because we handpick the bill for whatever, some local favorites or some friends of ours from tour. And we bring them and have them open the show. And then we headline at the London Music Hall, which, you know, unfortunately we haven't been able to do in the past year or two. So hopefully
you guys were sold out too, you know, the one that you weren't able to do.
Yeah, we haven't been able to do it. So hopefully in 2021, we'll be able to get one going this year if everything goes according to plan. That's my goal, I hope.
That would be great. And I'd love to be able to come in and interview you guys live once again. That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite video game?
Well, that's hard for me because I wasn't much of a gamer.
It's Jordan, yeah. Right? That plays games.
Yeah, that's a Jordan question. I don't really play video games. Growing up, I played a couple, but Jordan is pretty into Fortnite. I don't know if I'd say that that's his favorite, but Jordan and even Colin from time to time, they meet up on Fortnite and play Fortnite sometimes.
All right. So if you could meet any artist in the world, who would it be and what would you say?
I don't know. I'm never really one. I can't say there's really anybody I have like a burning desire to meet. And even sometimes when we do run into artists that I like, you know, whether we're sharing a festival bill with them or whatever, or we see them out, I don't usually approach them. If something comes up organically, then, you know, that's cool. But we had the chance to play with some bands that I like really like looked up to as a kid, and, you know, were probably at one point in my life maybe a hero of, you know, in some degree. And it just, I feel like more so than like meeting them and saying something to them, it's just really cool that we play those shows.
Yeah, just, you know, to be there.
Yeah.
You and I are so much alike. Because I'm used to doing TIFF and I meet so many people, I just don't think about it. I'm just grateful to be there. I'm doing my job. And I love meeting people and talking to people, but it's just not on that, oh my God, I got to go shake that person's hand. I'm just not that kind of person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, one example is like when we played Rock the Park in London a few years ago, mm-hmm. The headliner that year was Rise Against. And like when I was a teenager, the like early Rise Against records were pretty like big for me. Like they were one of those punk bands that I really liked growing up. And probably if you told like 14-year-old Phil that in a few years you'd be playing on the same bill as Rise Against, like, I probably wouldn't believe you. That being said, that day, like, I didn't really have any desire to like go knocking on their trailer door or, you know, mm-hmm. meet all the guys. It was just cool we got to play the show, and it was just cool when they were on stage thanking all the bands that like he said our band name on stage. Like that to me was cool enough.
Very cool. See, I understand you. Big time.
Yeah.
All right. Out of all the bands that you've worked with, who has meant the most to you in the advice that they gave you?
Well, we've already talked about them a lot, but because we were on tour for so long with Big Wreck, I'd say that they are kind of the obvious answer. Those guys, we spent the most time with. We've never done a tour that long, period, let alone doing a tour where we were teamed up with another bigger band that we were supporting every night. Like Jordan and I were talking about earlier, they didn't have to be as nice as they were to us or treat us the way they as well as they did or give us the advice they did, both them and their crew, you know, their tour manager, their guitar techs. You know, if we ever had a gear problem or had a question about whatever, our pedals or our amps, like even their guitar techs were like, they weren't working for us, they were getting paid by Big Wreck, but they would come over and help us out at sound check or give us advice or show us little tricks. So it really was like the band members but also the crew, I think, like they would be kind of the obvious answer for me. Like no one piece of advice that I could think of, probably every band member probably took something different for themselves from that tour in terms of like a piece of advice they were given. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they just treated us so well. I don't think we'll ever forget
nice
that tour.
That's really nice. Favorite guitar or bass? And how many do you own?
Oh, man. I don't even know. Basses, I own probably 5 or 6. And I own a handful of guitars. I'm more of a, bass was my first instrument. So I'm more of like a bass player through and through. I can play guitar, but I'm not anywhere as accomplished as the actual guitar players in our band. So yeah, Fender basses I love, but.
Very cool. Favorite meal you got to have when you get off the road?
See, that one, I almost feel like sometimes when we're on the road, there's meals that I look forward to because I like being on tour and we pull in somewhere. You know, we're in like California and there's like a really cool little Mexican stand or something like that. So I actually really enjoy eating on tour.
Nice.
But if we're getting off tour, something I haven't had in a long time, I'd say like maybe like my grandmother's cooking or something like that. You know, something I can't get on the road that maybe I would have missed after being away for like a month or two.
Makes you feel like home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So when you guys are on the road, the craziest thing you have ever seen. Gotta have some fun with this one. Come on.
There's all these years of touring and we've seen lots of crazy things. And then when you get put on the spot to pick one, it's just like, oh man, where do you even begin?
Just pull one.
I remember one time I think we were driving up to Thunder Bay and, actually, no, I'll go with this one. When we were on tour, this is, I guess, the craziest thing that kind of happened to us. But we were driving from, I think it was from like Red Deer to Calgary, which is a horrible stretch of road, especially in the wintertime. So we were driving there and we were playing Calgary that night. And there was I wouldn't say a snowstorm, but it was snowing pretty good. You know, we were slowed right down on the highway, probably driving like 60. Just because snow was coming down, it was hard to see, and the road was snow covered. And we were towing a trailer, and we ended up hitting some black ice and spinning out into the ditch. Luckily, we were pretty much all off the road. The tail end of our trailer was on the road a little bit, but we ended up all being perfectly fine, thankfully, because we were going so slow because of the bad weather. But that was probably the most memorable in terms of like a little bit like scary.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah. The craziest sort of tour story that happens personally. And nothing, it's not a bad story because no one was hurt. Nothing was damaged. Mm-hmm. We were a little late for the gig, but like it could have gone
so
much worse.
Wrong.
Yeah. It could have gone so much worse. You know, we didn't collide with any other cars or anything like that. Luckily, we weren't going very fast. So, that's
grateful.
Definitely one.
So grateful that you guys are all safe and sound off of that one. It's hard, you know, when you're traveling, especially when you're leaving at nighttime too, or do you guys normally stay over?
It kind of depends on the routing. If we can avoid driving through the night, we typically do, we'll avoid it. But sometimes, depending on what your tour routing is like, you know, sometimes you have 10 hours to do a drive that takes you 15 hours and you don't really have any choice but to start the drive. You know, you don't always have the luxury of waking up the next morning and driving, depending on where you got to go and what time you have to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a mix.
Okay. So what is the favorite pastime that you guys have when you guys are traveling? Because you guys are on the road, as you said, for such a long period of time. Does everybody sleep or do you have a favorite pastime?
Yeah. When we're not driving, you know, like when we're driving, you know, we usually listen to either records in the van, you know, we'll put on music, quite a variety of music, or sometimes each member will put their earbuds in and listen to like a podcast or something like that. And occasionally we'll bond over like a certain, like, you know, really good podcast or something like that. We'll put it on during the drive. If we ever have like a day off where we don't have to drive or play, I feel like we try to take advantage if we're in a cool spot. Like, you know, sometimes you luck out and you have days off in a cool city. You know, in 2019, we ended up having a day off the night before we had a Nashville gig. So we just drove to Nashville and killed our day off in Nashville, which was really cool.
Nice.
You know, if you have to have a night off somewhere, that was a lot nicer than having a day off, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuck to a motel or something. There was so much to do.
Music City.
To see.
Best place, right?
It kind of depends on where we are. But hopefully we have days off. They're in somewhere cool, and we can actually spend the day taking in the city, because on tour, so much of the time you get to go to these cool places, but you don't always necessarily have the time to like go see something or enjoy the city. You're kind of in, you're doing sound check, you're playing, and then you might have to leave that night or the next morning.
So you never get to really see the places that you've been at.
Yeah, there's lots of places we've been to, and I can't tell you anything about them besides the corner that the venue was on or something, you know what I mean? Maybe you walk down the street to get a sandwich, but like that's about all the traveling you have time to do in that city.
It's hard. Hard being a musician. Holy cow. Not easy. Yeah. Not easy. Okay, who is the best and most surprising person that slid into your DMs?
I feel like Jordan handles a lot of the Instagram DMs. So I don't know, but I know every once in a while it is kind of cool when you get a follow or a message from just like any band that you don't know personally, but you are a fan of or like you respect.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canadian music industry is so small like, you know, it doesn't always like maybe seem that way from the outside or whatever, but really it's quite small and everyone usually, you know, knows of each other or, you know, someone's got an agent or a manager who knows this person and all that sort of thing. So it's always just cool whenever we get like a random DM or a follow or a shout out, or you find out this person is actually like a fan of your music. And you're like, oh, that's cool. We've never met and I actually really like his bands. So like, you know, that's kind of cool.
Now, fun one here. Your best, most useless talent.
I'd say, not that I'm very good at it, but my best, most useless talent would probably be fishing. I like fishing, but I don't eat what I catch. I'm very much just a catch and release. So it really is just purely a pastime that whenever in the summer, if the weather's nice and I'm somewhere where there's water, I love to cast a line, but it by no means provides food or income or anything like that for me. It's just a pastime.
I swear to God, you're like my opposite gender.
You fish?
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
It's my favorite thing to do. That's other than photography, that's my favorite thing to do.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Love it. I have my special lures that I've had for years, ever since I was a kid. Still have them. And
very cool.
Very good. Okay, so if you could fish anywhere in the world, where would it be? Dream place.
Off the top of my head, I would say the Northwest Territories.
Very nice. One of these days, I'm going to get to Alaska too. One of these times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, be really cool. Okay, so tell everybody once again where they can see all your latest music, your news, and everything happening for Texas King.
Yeah, so on socials, we're at Texas King Band. You can find us there on Instagram and on Facebook. If you search Texas King, we'll come up, or I think Texas King Official. It's facebook.com/Texas King Official. We also have texasking.ca, which is always a good spot to find our latest stuff. And we have a merch store up there, too. And yeah, we'll have a third new single coming out in the coming months and a new EP coming out this December. And hopefully some dates around that as well in Canada and part of the U.S. So if all goes according to plan, yeah, we'll hopefully be seeing everyone soon.
I'm hoping you get out to London, so we'll definitely try to do that one for sure. If not, at the Christmas one, we're going to manifest that one happens.
Yes, I hope so.
I hope so, too. So we want to remind everybody the brand new single out today, and that's called Strange Life, and that is with my very special guest, Texas King. You're going to love this one, so you're going to add it to your streaming platforms, all of them, and add it to your playlists and make sure you share it. And don't forget to call your local radio stations. This is such a great song and such a great album. I cannot wait to see what's coming up with these guys. You guys are amazing. I'm such a huge fan, and thank you so much, Phil, for coming on. And thank Jordan for me. And I know he had to leave the show earlier, so we really appreciate you both taking the time and letting us into the life of Texas King and this amazing new body of work you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you having us on. And it was nice to talk to you again. And hopefully we'll see you at a show soon.
We look forward to it. If not Christmas, we're going to get there.
Yes.
All right, you take care. Thanks so much, Phil, for being on the show.
Thank you.
I would like to thank my very special guest, Jordan McDonald and Phil Spina of Texas King, for coming on the show and talking about their new single, Strange Life, for their forthcoming new EP, Changes, that is out in December of 2021 this year. They have a third song that is releasing off the new EP this fall, so make sure that you check them out at texasking.ca for all their latest news. I've got some great shows coming up for you. I've got Smoke and Ashes, Ty Baton, the winner of The Voice, Todd Tillman, is going to be here. We have Brian John Harwood from Kansas Stone. We've got Carly Akins, New Moon Junction, Aaron Pritchett, and so many more. I am so excited about the shows we've got coming up. So if you want to hear the full interviews, make sure that you tune in to my podcast at musicsjourney.com or our sponsors Now and Then Magazine.com.